Everybody's talking at me.
CRN Digital Talk Radio, Chuck Wilder here, Jeremy at the network, and we're live across America and around the world at crntalk.com. Today's lineup, Cam Edwards. We're going to be talking about McLaughlin Poe, strong Second Amendment support after the Ukraine invasion. Judd Garrett, author of No Wind. His latest, Are We Insane? I was just checking. Selwyn Duke, writer for The New American, with his latest, Excluding Cyclists, Emily Bridges, and Splitting the Transgender Baby. All right. Now, before I get to my guest, April Fool's. Yes. I don't have a joke to pull on you, but I'll tell you what. Print up a big sign and say, please use the other door. And then put it in the front of your house, you know, when people come in and you only have one door. Or if you have two, make sure you put it all the way to the right. And that'll satisfy everybody. Now then, in a serious note here, a new survey by the nationally recognized polling firm of McLaughlin and Associates shows strong public support for the Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms in the wake of Vladimir Putin's invasion of the Ukraine. The Second Amendment Foundation, which commissioned the survey, found that 66% of people polled agreed with this statement. Quote, when you see what's going on with Vladimir Putin and Russia's military invasion of the Ukraine, it is more important than ever for Americans to defend their Second Amendment constitutional freedoms, for law-abiding citizens to continue to have the right to own guns for their personal protection. Now, joining me to shed some more light on this new findings and representative of the Second Amendment is Cam Edwards. And Cam Edwards, by the way, is the editor at BearingArms.com, hosts the popular podcast Cam and Company that focuses on Second Amendment news and information. He is originally from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. He's worked in radio, television, online media for over two decades, and currently he lives on a small farm with his family near Farmville, Virginia, and he is a member of the Board of Citizens Committee to Keep and Bear Arms. Welcome, 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 Cam. How are you doing?
I'm good, Chuck. Thanks so much for the invitation.
All right. Hey, this poll, I guess you would label it eye-opening, basically means that two-thirds of the United States population supports gun rights. What percentage favored gun control? 33%?
Yeah, and I think it's actually even more than that, because if you note the wording of this question, it's, you know, has the Russian invasion of Ukraine made you more appreciative of your Second Amendment rights? And two-thirds of Americans said yes. So presumably, there are also some folks who already support the Second Amendment who say, nah, you know, I'm still just as supportive as I've ever been, who would be a no. So I think what this shows is that, honestly, the vast majority of Americans do understand to one degree or another the importance of our right to keep and bear arms and the critical necessity in keeping that right as safe and as strong as possible.
Right, yeah. Let me ask you this. What does this mean for future legislation, protecting the right to keep and bear arms? Any change in it or any?
Well, I mean, look, if the Democrats are paying attention, it should mean some changes. Because, you know, not only have we seen this McLaughlin poll, but there was a Morning Consult political poll that just came out a couple of days ago showing that Republicans are more trusted than Democrats on gun policy when it comes to voters who are, you know, planning on voting in the midterm elections this year. There are all kinds of signs for Democrats. The American people are not interested in trying to ban our way to safety agreeing to any sort of promise that we'll all be better off once we give up our Second Amendment rights. That's not where the American people are right now. You know, we've seen three states this year adopt constitutional carry language. The Georgia State Senate just moments ago approved constitutional carry. So that bill is now headed to the desk of Governor Brian Kemp. That would make 25 constitutional carry states in the United States, where if you can legally own a gun, you can legally carry it, no government permit required. This is where the American people are right now when it comes to our right of self-defense. And so, you know, if it doesn't change the anti-gun legislation we're seeing from Democrats, that's on them, and they're going to pay the price come November.
Yeah. In 25, that's like half of all the states. Unless,
that's right. Or almost half if you're Barack Obama and you go by that 57 math. But, yes, half the states in the country. And again, you know, we have seen this move in one direction. There has not been a single state in the nation that has ever repealed a constitutional carry law. Yeah. There's not a single state. We've got 42 states that are shall issue. In other words, if you meet the training requirements, you pass a background check, you get your license. You don't have to try to prove that, you know, you're worthy or you have some sort of justifiable need. And not one of those 42 states has ever gone back from the shall issue laws and been returned to a may issue system. You know, again, the American people understand the importance of our Second Amendment rights, and we are working hard every day to make those rights as secure as possible.
Well, you know, their ammunition, I want to throw this in, Cam, is, you know, like, why do you have to go out and kill the poor little ducks or shoot those little deer? But your organization does support hunting, right?
Of course, absolutely. You know, listen, I live out in a rural area. I have hunted, I raise livestock, and yes, I use a firearm to kill my hogs before I butcher them. So I'm you know, all in favor of using firearms to put food on the table. But that's not what the Second Amendment is about.
Yeah.
Right. Ultimately, the Second Amendment is about a free country being more secure because of an armed people, whether that is through, fending off foreign invasions or preventing them from ever happening in the first place, or simply being able to protect ourselves and our loved ones from someone who'd break into our home in the middle of the night. That's why we have our Second Amendment rights, and that's why those Second Amendment rights are still just as important today as they were in 1787 or 1791.
Yeah, my God. I mean, you know, look at the crime rate and everything that's going on. You know, it makes more sense to have a gun than not, even if you never even thought about it before. Maybe you ought to start thinking about it now, but that's just my opinion. I'm sorry, what'd you say?
I said, well, I would agree with that. You know, if I can just make a quick point on this, there was a mayor in Washington State, Mayor of Everett, Washington, and yesterday she gave her State of the City address, and she talked about the need for more gun control laws because they had just had an officer killed this week. What she didn't tell her audience is that the suspect in that officer's murder has 51 prior arrests to his name, 18 felony arrests. This guy was so well known to law enforcement that the local police department had a warning so that if they ever stopped him, for officers to be alert and be on guard. And yet the criminal justice system continually spit this guy back out onto the streets, and you've got politicians who are saying, well, we just need another gun law. You know, this is what we're also fighting against, Chuck. It's not just that we're fighting for our Second Amendment rights, but we're also fighting for proven strategies that actually will work to make us safer. And you don't do that by criminalizing the exercise of a constitutionally protected right.
Are there any other insights that we might be able to pick up on these recent poll results?
Yeah, I think one of the other interesting findings of this McLaughlin survey in particular is that support for Joe Biden's gun ban is also under 50% in this McLaughlin poll. So not only, again, does this show that Americans are more appreciative, but as you and I were talking about earlier, this shows that the Democrats' anti-gun agenda is not one that the American people are embracing right now. And, you know, if you are one of those people who's left cold by the idea of banning our way to safety, I would encourage you to go to the Second Amendment Foundation's website, saf.org, sign up, become a member, and let's work together to help keep our Second Amendment rights strong.
saf.org, like Second Amendment Foundation,
saf.org.
Not that hard to you know, remember, forget. I almost forgot what I was talking about, see? But SAF is real easy to remember, yes. The McLaughlin survey also revealed that more people opposed bans on semi-automatic rifles and 9mm pistols to support them. What do you make of that?
Yeah, well, this is what we were just talking about here. You know, this was something that Joe Biden ran on, was his idea of banning modern sporting rifles, of which, by the way, there are more than 20 million legally owned across the country. They're more common than Ford F-150 pickup trucks, but Joe Biden seems to think it should be illegal to possess one. And then Biden, you know, has thrown out, I don't know if this is his, if this is just his mumble mouth talking. You know, sometimes it's hard to know how seriously to take everything that comes out of Joe Biden's mouth.
Well, let me tell you something, Cam. Sometimes it's hard to figure out who's moving his lips. Almost like a puppet. Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, but he has said, he has included 9mm in the list of things he'd like to ban, one of the most common pistol calibers in this country. And honestly, look, whether or not Joe Biden actually proposes that legislation, we know that that's the ultimate goal of the gun control lobby. They're not going to stop because they ban a gun. right? They're not going to stop because they banned some magazines. Until they have turned our Second Amendment right into a non-entity, they're going to continue pushing and prodding and poking and keep, you know, taking bites out of our Second Amendment rights.
And the 9mm, in my opinion, you know, that's got to be the best thing for home protection, you know, because you don't have to go and, if you have a gun, you know, a big long rifle that's on the wall, chances are it's downstairs, you know, where people can see it because you're proud of it. But a 9mm, you know, definitely good for protection, fits in the dresser drawer next to the bed or whatever. Or you can put it under your shirt if you hear some clown breaking in at night. When Joe Biden first occupied the Oval Office about, 14 months ago, he launched this ambitious gun control agenda. What happened after that?
Well, I think a couple of things. I think he forgot. I don't even think he forgot. I think he bought into the lies of the gun control lobby, who says, you know, it's all this is just the NRA, right? And the NRA is a paper tiger. 80% of Americans want more gun control. I think he realized pretty quickly, oh, that's not actually the fact. You know, he nominated a gun control lobbyist to head up the ATF, and that nomination was defeated when Democrats, Joe Manchin and Angus King, refused to get on board because their constituents would not have reelected them had they voted for David Shipman. So, you know, the gun control legislation that Joe Biden wants to enact, it's not going to get through Congress. It has left him really with one option, and that's to use his executive authority to try to appease his anti-gun allies. And that's what he's doing. I mean, he is busy weaponizing the ATF into a gun control group with law enforcement powers. And we are seeing them go after gun makers. We're seeing them go after gun stores. And we're seeing them go after gun owners through new regulations, sweeping reinterpretations of existing laws. And this is something that the Second Amendment Foundation is also pushing back hard against. We've got some new rules that are going to be coming out, and I would expect the litigation to be filed very soon once these new rules are in place, because I think this is going to be another area where the administration is really overstepping its authority, and it's probably going to take a lawsuit to curb these abuses.
Yeah, and you know, Cam, probably what the listeners should think about seriously also is, you know, the midterm elections, all right? It's not the presidential elections in 24, but the midterm elections. You know, you've got to kind of do a little research if you're one of the people, you know, that truly supports, you know, your Second Amendment rights. And just be very careful about who you, you know, let get into office, because it's going to affect your life and your family and your friend's life, and especially when it comes to protecting yourself. And in my opinion, I've never seen America this strong, you know, on the edge as much as it is right now. It's who's the good guys and who's the bad guys. You used to just say, well, if you're an American, you're the good guy, that's it. But other people want to label you differently, so to speak, and that might be a clue of what's coming up.
Yeah, this is a dangerous time, I think, for the country. And it is sad that we've got, you know, I think so many folks out there who want to take this country and make it, you know, they might think that they want to, you know, make something beautiful out of reimagining our civil society. But, you know, I'm a student of history. And
there you go.
Every time you tear something down and you promise to build something bigger and beautiful on its ashes, it never ends well. You know, so you've got to be careful.
Well, and this ends, unfortunately. Cam Edwards, thank you very much, sir. Appreciate
Thanks,
it. Remember, listener, for more information, go to saf.org. Just think of the Second Amendment Foundation, saf.org. Cam Edwards, thank you very much. Coming up next, Judd Garrett.
Have you heard about vine-to-bar chocolate? It's the winemaker's chocolate, the world's first chocolate made with well-vined Chardonnay marc from the beautiful coastal vineyards of North America. Gently pressed grapes are harvested after juicing, dried and finely milled, and carefully blended into the finest dark chocolate. The Chardonnay Mark contains highly beneficial grape nutrients, flavanols, and has a natural sweetness that flavors the luscious dark chocolate. Mouthwatering, flavorful, delectable dark chocolate goodness with Chardonnay sweetness and beneficial nutrients. And it's alcohol-free, too. It's Vine to Bar Chocolate. Order some today at vinetobar.com. That's VINETOBAR.com. Cold shipped to your door, it's Vine to Bar. Vine to Bar Chocolate. Visit us at vinetobar.com.
When you really want Italian food, you have got to get to Columbo's. Columbo's Italian Steakhouse and Jazz Club, Colorado Boulevard, Eagle Rock. It's that little neighborhood place you wish was down the street from you. Yahoo! We're so glad you're wearing an Easter bonnet and writing a poetic sonnet, but give me a chicken parmesan with loads of cheese and marinara sauce upon it. Yes, springtime has been a long time coming. So get on over to Columbo's to feast your eyes and sate your famished appetite on Columbo's delectable steaks, the freshest fish, and the world-class Columbo's family Italian recipes that will soothe the savage soul. And don't forget the world's greatest meatballs. Yes, it's time to once again ooh and ah and exclaim to once and all, I have found true yum-yum for my tum-tum. Columbo's, an excursion into dining excellence. Columbo's, that little neighborhood place you wish was down the street from you. Columbo's, mind you've been there.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. That's 800-378-3212.
Everybody's talking at me.
CRN, Chuck Wilder here. Want to go to my guest right now, Judd Garrett, G-A-R-R-E-T-T. And let me tell you about Judd. After 6 years as a professional football player, including with the 1993 Super Bowl champion Dallas Cowboys, he began a 12-year coaching career with the Saints, Dolphins, Rams, where have I heard that name? Rams, and Cowboys, and served another 12 years as personal executive with the Cowboys. Judd has written 2 screenplays, frequent contributor to the topics of sports and politics to Real Clear Politics, and by the way, the book No Wind, that's his first published novel. Judd is married, father of 6 children, and his website is Objectivity is the Objective. Judd, you've got the number one question right now, and especially for the people that listen to Chuck Wilder, are we insane?
Well, it appears as if we may be insane after what we witnessed at the Oscars the other night. So,
I'm telling you, yeah, unbelievable. And, of course, the whole thing starts out with this, the 3 ladies. I'm using that term loosely, I guess, but gay, like you're not allowed to say it. Well, that's you always have to watch out. They might be giving you misinformation or just right out lying when their lips are moving. And in that case, that's exactly what was happening.
Yeah, the bill never says don't say gay. The bill is only designed to prevent teachers from trying to indoctrinate 5, 6, and 7-year-olds into the LGBTQ ideology. That's all the bill is about, and they're going to stand up and they're going to change it, and they always change it to in order to hide what they're actually doing. They want teachers teaching 5-year-olds about being transgendered, about being gay, which obviously
is completely inappropriate. I don't think very many people believe that should be happening.
Yeah, and basically, listener, in case you're not up on this, it is the Florida bill that was just introduced, and it's protecting 5-, 6-, and 7-year-olds from being indoctrinated into the LGBTQ, and no matter how many other letters they got, indoctrinated by their teachers. And shame on the teachers. You know, there should be an ethics code or something.
No question. I don't think personally, I don't think it goes far enough. I mean, I think it should be, you know, 8, 9, 10, 11. I mean, at some point, they're going to have a discussion like this. But, you know, 8-year-olds have this discussion, 9-year-olds having the discussion. I think is, again, completely inappropriate. I mean, if I took, you know, I got a 5-year-old. If I took my 5-year-old to a restaurant and some person came up to her and started talking to her about sex and sexuality and gender and genitalia, I would call the cops. I mean, that's corrupting the youth. But
I thought you were getting ready to say you would turn back into a professional football player. You know?
Well, I may pull a Will Smith in that case, but I don't want to promote violence. But, I mean, we would consider that criminal behavior. But if it's done within the school framework, then it's okay. That doesn't equate for me.
Uh-huh. The only reason I think it might be starting out with 5-, 6-, and 7-year-olds is the fact that they've already lost a majority, not a majority, but too many, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15-year-olds. So perhaps get them while they're young. If it went into effect, at least it'd be a good start, because 5, 6, 7, maybe they wouldn't want to do that after 8, you know. And if you want to play like you're somebody else, you know, and you're a rooster and you're going to start laying eggs, do it whenever you're 20 years old or something, all right? And then people will know exactly where you're coming from.
Yeah, do it when you're of age. And then also don't entice or indoctrinate young kids to do it as well.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone should be allowed eventually to make the decision that's best for their own lives. And this indoctrination is very corrupting, especially to the youth. But like you said, they get at them at such an early age because that's when they're the most impressionable. That's when their minds are the most malleable.
Yeah. Well, you know, and when you get right down to, you know, the Academy Awards, the Oscars and things like that, it's, they've just in probably the last 5-6 years, they've just gone almost to the bottom in the ratings. So you never know what's going to happen. And then they pull that fiasco with Will Smith, right?
Chris Rock. That was the thing. I mean, that's the hypocrisy of the whole thing, is that, you know, Will Smith goes and he hits Chris Rock because Chris Rock told a joke about his wife. So yeah. Will Smith said, I was defending my family. I'm a fierce defender of families. But isn't that what the people in Florida are doing?
Right on the head, right there. You got it. Judd Garrett's going to be right back. More of this and much more. Don't go away.
You've heard me talk about MyPillow, and now Mike has done it again by introducing his new slippers. I love these. It's taken over 2 years to develop them. They're designed to wear indoor, outdoor, all day long. They're made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue. They're made with quality leather suede. Now, for a limited time, Mike's offering them 50% off on his new MyPillow slippers. 50% off. The My slippers are so comfortable. You'll want to get some for the whole family. I wear mine. I look like a movie actor. I look like Robert Davi or Fred Dreyer on a movie set. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, and use the promo code HORN. You'll also get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the Giza Dream bed sheets, the MyPillow mattress topper, the MyPillow towel sets, or you can call 800-889-6959 and use the promo code HORN. That's 800-889-6959. Use the promo code HORN, or go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code HORN.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Do you want to fly somewhere? Anywhere in the world? Smart travelers call MyFlightSearch.com for the best deals on flight tickets. Going to Manila, Bangkok, London, how about Singapore? Call MyFlightSearch.com for the lowest flight tickets available. What about a local vacation? Let's say you want to fly to Vegas, Orlando, Miami, Los Angeles, or Denver. Pick up the phone and call MyFlightSearch.com right now. We have exclusive deals that you can't find anywhere else. The only way you can get these low airline prices is by calling us. We have so many low prices available, we can't possibly tell them to you right here and now. If you're flying somewhere anytime in the next 6 months and you want the lowest airline ticket prices anywhere, you owe it to yourself to save a ton of money. So pick up your cell phone and call MyFlightSearch.com right now.
Call 800-445-3166. 800-445-3166. That's 800-445-3166. Call now. 800-445-3166.
Let's talk about your credit cards. When you first start using them, it's a slow drip. You make charges, then more charges, then bills come, and they keep coming. When you open your statements, the floodgates come pouring in. You realize you have more credit card debt than you can afford, and you're barely making the minimum payments. Wouldn't it be nice to make one affordable payment and have all your credit card bills covered? Make this free call and learn our responsible way to get your credit card bills paid and under control.
Sponsored by Consumer Education Services, a nonprofit organization.
800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. That's 800-876-3643.
CESI is not a loan company. The establishment of a debt management plan may adversely affect your credit rating. Non-payment of debt may lead creditors to increase finance and other charges to undertake collection activity, including liquidation.
Keep listening for a free offer from US Med. If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain of sticking your fingers over and over again. By simply wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor, or CGM, you can reduce the pain of sticking your fingers right away. If you're testing your blood sugar daily and administering insulin three or more times per day, or using an insulin pump, call today and learn about the latest CGM technology. We'll send you a free ebook telling you all you need to know about CGMs. A CGM can immediately reduce pain. It's accurate, easy to use, and helps you make better diabetes treatment decisions. Your new CGM may be covered by Medicare or private insurance. Call now to learn more.
800-524-9313. 800-524-9313. That's 800-524-9313.
Everybody's talking at me.
Chuck Wilder, CRN, with my guest Judd Garrett, frequent contributor, sports politics, real clear politics, and his novel, No Wind, talking about, are we insane? You know, and if there's anything you can say I'm thankful for COVID for, Judd, you bring that up. And I've mentioned this before, too, because there was one thing that happened during the COVID lockdowns that have turned out to be good, and that is the parents. Well, I'll let Judd, he does it more exquisitely than I do. Basically, it's the parents' light bulb going off over their head, right?
Yeah, because the students were forced to do their classes at home through Zoom and all that, some of the parents were right there, and they were listening to what was being taught to their students or to their children, you know, in school, and they raised a lot of objections. And I think a lot of this pushback against this radical gender theory and critical race theory that we're seeing by parents throughout the country is a direct result from them finally being able to see what's being taught to their kids. And to me, I believe that raises the question, should we have cameras in the classroom so parents can jump on and see what's being taught in the classrooms? I mean, police officers have to wear body cams. Why can't we have cameras in the classroom so we can know what our children are being taught?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I often wonder, because I know teachers, and I can get in arguments with them whenever I start talking about this stuff, but, you know, they've got to make up their mind, you know, and you have to go through a lot if you're going to be a credible teacher, okay, you know. But you got to make up your mind, you know, is it worth doing the job? I mean, you've got to have a lot of guilt there. just has to be a lot of guilt, you know, whenever you're teaching these six-year-old children all about the sex and stuff. You know, and it even got him lower than that sometimes, Judd, because I'm trying to think what it was called. I know the second word was queen, but they would have, you know, the men dressed up like women queen, and they were actually doing it in kindergarten. You know, they're queen for the day or whatever.
Yeah, the drag queen reading hour or something like that. And you know, they're doing that for 5-year-olds. And, you know, I mean, I've had a few of my own kids I've raised, and, you know, they're not thinking about those things. They're not thinking about those things at age 5 and age 6. They're not. And to force it on them and force them to confront that, I mean, I think it could be traumatizing, and it could be affecting them and their emotional and sexual development.
You know, I know that, you know, you're a Texas guy. I lived in Texas for a long time and southeastern New Mexico. And, you know, back there, we had a word, and it was called perverts, okay? You don't hear that anymore. And maybe that's been outlawed. Maybe, you know, I could get kicked off the radio for using that word. I don't know, but that word just sort of disappeared. And, well, I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to get involved, you know. I'm more involved with other things, you know, like I got to take care of my lawn. You know what I mean?
I don't know.
It's amazing how it came about. And maybe television. Maybe television was the evil thing that got into the homes. I have no idea what started it all, but you may have an inclination.
Well, there's no question that a lot of the content that's being pushed on TV and all the, you know, on Netflix and all those types of sites is very much pushing these radical ideologies. And there's not a whole lot of content that promotes the traditional family values and the traditional religious belief system. It's all about this radical new far left ideologies. And to me, that's what parents are fighting against, because they see the culture being pushed that way by a small part of the entertainment establishment. And then they have to fight it again in the schools as well. So there's no let up. I mean, the fight is everywhere, you know, for your children's souls and for your children's belief systems.
You know, and maybe it's just that the newspapers are printing it now, and maybe they didn't do it before, but there are a lot of occasions now where you hear that teachers are actually instigating sex with the students. Not the other way around, not the students hitting on the teachers. You know, you might have a real cute teacher, but now it's gone the other way, where the teachers are actually getting involved sexually with the students.
Yeah, I mean, I put the statistic in my article. You know, 15 students in America are sexually victimized by educators, and you're absolutely right. I mean, everyone I read, or not everyone, but many of the ones I read about, it's not, you know, a 21-year-old teacher and a 17-year-old student. It's a 35-year-old teacher and a 12-year-old or a 10-year-old.
And by the way, listener, that's 15 students weekly. Average, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, 15 students a week on average are being victimized sexually by their teachers, and it's almost at an epidemic level, and these people want to open the door to have more sexual interaction and conversations between teachers and students, and even students at the youngest levels, age 5, 6, and 7.
Let me throw this at you, and I've used this before on the air. Something that I came up with, and I thought it was very clever. You know, when I do that, I repeat those things. But, you know, it's sort of like whatever you want to be, that's what you can be. Whatever you want to identify yourself as, right, that's what they've done. And I said, I wish some smart kid would come into class and say, I am now identifying as a donkey. Now, what would they say? I mean, would it be, oh, no, you either got to be, you know, the opposite of what you are, you know, and if it was a boy, you can identify as a girl, that's okay, but you can't be a donkey. But, you know, and they could debate the teacher with it, and finally the teacher would have to give in, right? And then the next day, this kid has one bale of hay delivered to the classroom, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it exposes
yes.
the ridiculousness of mm-hmm. of the issue, and to me, as we mentioned before, I mean, if somebody who's over 18 years old wants to live whatever way they want to live, you know, so be it. But don't force other people yeah. or induce other people to live that same lifestyle, and force other people to have to go along with your delusions. Because it shouldn't happen either.
Seems like it'd be interfering with our high standards and how great we're doing in education compared to the rest of the world, huh? Mm-hmm. Used to be that way.
Well, as I wrote, we're not really that. Our standards aren't really high. I mean, I said 35% of fourth graders in America are reading at or above proficiency level. So 65%. Of fourth graders are reading below their proficiency level. So, you know, our kids are not being taught, you know, the basics in education like they need to become productive members of society.
Yeah. Let's see, 30th, we rank 30th in math, 8th in reading, 11th in science, even though the United States is the top four spending on education. Spending on education probably includes teachers' salaries, vacations, and things like that.
Yeah, definitely. You know, we spend 37% more per student than the average industrialized nation, but you know, our the way we're educating the kids does not live up to the amount of money we spend, and it's mainly because we spend on a lot of these other programs, these programs that aren't math, science, reading, and all that. It's about all these gender and critical race yeah. theory programs.
And in your article, you know, this might be one of the most important notes in the whole thing, and there are so many important notes in it. Think about this, listener, and Judd Garrett says, you know, like, do we really want adults that we barely know and who may not have gained our trust, teaching our children all about homosexuality, transgenderism, premarital sex, it goes on and on and on, abortion. You know, when did these teachers take those classes to make them experts in those subjects? You know, does it just automatically, okay, now here's the book and here's what you teach them. Is that what it is?
I mean, here, you know, and when you open that door to sex, all these other issues come up. I mean, here's yeah. a quick story about my life. I was in sixth grade, and they were doing a sexual or sex ed class, and, you know, they gave us the little book, and it said, and then mommy and daddy are in bed together, and they make love, and the mm-hmm. teacher stopped and said, never say make love. It's sex, and sex is bad. You know, so really? She was injecting her own personal opinion into that subject matter, which was completely inappropriate. That happened 30-something years ago when I was in grade school, and God knows how these teachers are injecting their own personal opinions into these discussions. You know, when you bring up sex, then kids are going to raise their hands, and they're going to ask questions, and a lot of those questions aren't scientific facts. They're personal opinions, and the teacher's just going to be giving these kids his or her own personal opinion about these issues, which may be different from what the parents want to be taught.
Yeah. With me, they would say, stop looking at her, you know, and that would be a cute little girl across, you know, do yeah. your math or whatever. Yeah. You know, and it was interesting whenever they had the dress code, you know. Now, if you were going to, like, say, a Catholic school, you were already, you know, under a lot of strict things, and you didn't have to worry about it. But I remember, it, like, throughout the ages, and especially in the 60s, you know, it was like, well, you know, that skirt is too high, right? Or you can't wear that. And even the guys, you know, I remember the first time, it must have been Pat Boone or somebody that was wearing white shoes. And it was all of a sudden, you know, the kids would, you know, spray their tennis shoes white or whatever, the boys, you know, or they'd grow sideburns because of Elvis or whatever it was, you know, and that was the code. But now you could identify yourself, you know, as Pat Boone or Elvis. I'm Elvis, right? And this could be a girl. Okay, I'm Elvis Presley, and this is what I'm going to do, and I'm going to grow sideburns. Okay. It's got to be that you should be, if you're an educational, which stands for, you know, knowing stuff, it's sort of like, don't you realize that, you know, I always say the rooster can't lay an egg? So how in the world, you know, is this boy going to be, you know, a girl, et cetera, et cetera?
Well, it's rooted in you know, these people, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful, these people are delusional in believing that. And the problem is that the science, the medical science, is saying the only way to deal with these people's delusions is to load them up with hormones and get operations, as opposed to addressing the delusions. Like you said, I mean, if someone walked in and said, I'm a chicken, okay, you wouldn't build a coop for the person and have them live there. You would sit there and you're talking to a psychologist and have them get rid of the delusion that they're actually a chicken. So a boy says, I'm a girl. Well, biologically, they're not a girl. So and no matter how many surgeries and injections you get, you're never going to be one. So why don't we deal with what's wrong is they're living under a delusion, and it's a psychological issue, not a physical issue.
And it's the biggest, well, no, I started to say the biggest loss in the whole thing is they're not getting an education, but I think the biggest loss in the thing is their brain is getting scrambled, and they don't realize, you know, that it is being, you know, altered, so to speak. It's just, I don't know. And, you know, and there are so many people, Judd, that, you know, they're going to 100% totally disagree with you and I and what we're talking about right now. No. You've got to realize, let them be what they want to be, you know. Who's
well, I have a five-year-old right now, right, and she'll ask me 25 questions a day. Why is this? Why is that? How do you do this? What is this? She doesn't know anything. She's trying to learn. So she's asking question after question after question. So if someone comes in and says, you can change your gender, you can be a boy if you want, you know, and starts feeding that type of information to a mind that is so malleable, that's going to become ingrained in her head. And maybe 5 years from now, she may say, well, I want to be a boy. But she might have only thought that because when she was 5 years old, a teacher told her that she could be one. And that screws her all up, and that confuses her. Okay, you need to tell these, you know, when my child asks me a question, you know, whatever, why is there a fire hydrant there? You know, I tell her the reason why. I don't tell her a lie and confuse her because they don't know these answers yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, you don't say, well, they put him there for dogs, see?
Yeah.
And you'll see the dog will lift his back leg, and that's why we have fire hydrants. Oh, okay. But see, the problem is that, you know, if you get locked up, okay, like in a concentration camp, you know, they have complete control of you. And you think about, you know, the five-year-old asking you a question, Judd, but mainly I think most of the questions they ask, they know they can do it in school. Right?
Yes.
That's supposedly, you know, that's the person that's teaching me the difference between right and wrong and 2 + 2 and 1 + 1, and they don't realize that 1 + 1 really equals 3 most of the time. Okay? Yeah, we're going to take a break on that one. Judd Garrett, G-A-R-R-E-T-T, his novel is entitled No Wind, W-I-N-D, and you can get it at Amazon.com. Go to his website for some of the most insightful, excellent articles. It's objectivityistheobjective.com. Objectivityistheobjective.com. Be back.
You you experiencing pain? Back pain, shoulder, elbow, or hand pain? Pain from a sports injury? If so, schedule a visit with Dr. Michael Sheps, the leading expert in laser therapy for pain management. Call 310-873-4422 or go to drsheps.com. Experience Epic T, the breakthrough laser therapy system that Dr. Sheps developed to make you pain-free in less time. Laser therapy is a non-invasive, safe, and effective in-office procedure that penetrates deep into your skin without damaging the tissue. It perfectly targets areas of pain to promote fast, natural healing. Relax your muscles, ease muscle spasms, joint stiffness, and arthritis pain while increasing blood circulation. For over 25 years, Dr. Sheps has helped Olympic athletes and sports enthusiasts alike get back in the game. Schedule your visit with Dr. Sheps at his Brentwood office in California. Call 310-873-4422 or visit drsheps.com. That's drsheps.com, 310-873-4422.
What are you so happy about?
I'm on the pill.
Aren't you two a bit old to worry about having more kids?
Not her, me.
You lost me there, buddy.
Steel Man pills. Things weren't always looking up, if you catch my drift. So, my doctor prescribed me a little something.
Like Viagra?
Yeah, but that's expensive, and it wasn't covered by my insurance. Steel Man pills cost me less than $3 a pill, and virtually the same effect. I just called and got over 40 pills for only $99.
I have this friend who might be looking and...
Well, if your friend wants some help, the consultation is free over the phone. No clinic. Steel Man pills sends it in the mail in a confidential package.
I'm on it. I mean, my friend will be on it.
Steel Man Pills. Going the extra mile to help men with erectile dysfunction.
800-605-1683. 800-605-1683. 800-605-1683. That's 800-605-1683.
Does your current bathroom need to be updated immediately? Introducing One Day Bath and Shower Remodeling, the complete and hassle-free way to get the new bathroom of your dreams in as little as one day, and for as little as $199 a month. Yes, the experts at One Day Bath and Shower Remodeling will come to you anywhere in the country and show you all the customized options. Now you can have a brand new bathroom in as little as one day. Large or small bathrooms, if you want a new bathtub or shower installed, we can do it in as little as one day. And if you call right now, you can save $750 off your remodel. We make it easy by offering you financing as low as $199 per month. Call now to schedule your free in-home consultation.
855-525-7454. 855-525-7454. That's 855-525-7454.
Everybody's talking at me.
CRN, Chuck Wilder with Judd Garrett, author of No Wind, Objectivity is the Objective.com. And you say most people who are speaking like you and I, they really want to come down hard on us, don't they? You know, stupid, stupid, stupid. Come on, get with it. What are you guys doing, you know? Have you gotten lot of negative feedback? Have you done any more interviews on this subject today or in the last few days?
You know, I haven't had a whole lot of negative feedback because most of the people who follow me and read my articles, they're of like mind. So I haven't had a whole lot of pushback. I know that there are a lot of times when I feel like I'm being blocked on these websites because of the content that, you know, some that I feel like are really good, you know, don't get as many views because it's being suppressed.
I just recently had that problem with my blog on Google. You know, here's what the guest is talking about. You know, an inappropriate subject. You know, there's no such thing as COVID. What do you mean? No such thing. Anyway, let me see. Surely there are some important people that are on our side. That maybe came out with a quote. How about that guy, Jesus? Oh, I'm sorry, Jesus. Didn't Jesus make a comment about this?
Yeah, Jesus, at the end, you know, at the end of my article, I mean, I put, you know, Jesus said, whoever caused the downfall of one of those these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for him if he had a heavy millstone or hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. So, I mean, he talked about protecting the little ones, protecting mm-hmm. the innocent. He was big on that, and I think that's what the bill in Florida is doing. It's protecting these 5-, 6-, and 7-year-olds from this level of indoctrination, which could end up destroying their lives.
Yeah, yeah, and that quote from Jesus was Mark 9:42. It's just, you know, it's really bad. I think, you know, the children, you know, people should, you know, that should be like the biggest guard you have, you know, is the children, and then maybe, you know, your wife or your husband, you know, and then your family, and don't forget to throw in animals, okay? That's just my opinion. They're pushing it, you know, and the mainstream media is like 100% behind them. You know, it's just...
It's so dangerous because, you know, they don't care about these children. They just want to exploit the children to push their own agendas and their own narratives, and then the children are going to be the ones that get hurt, and when they grow up, you know, they're going to end up hurting the rest of the country. So it's so dangerous. It's so sad. You know, just let kids be kids. Let kids enjoy being who they are, enjoy their innocence, you know, because it's going to be taken from them soon enough anyway.
Yeah. And the other thing is that, you know, like people like you and I, you know, if you have relatives or very good friends that are all for what you and I have been discussing that we're not for, you know, that also affects your lifestyle, you know, and what's going on. You know, and it's unfortunate, but you know, you just can't go and preach to them all the time because they're not going to listen. It goes in one ear and out the other, and we have that same capability of letting it go in one ear and out the other. So there you go. Hey, Judd, all out of time. It's been a while. Judd's been busy, and I appreciate you being back on the show, and look forward to the next visit.
Great, thanks, Pat.
All right, Judd Garrett, Garrett. And the website, objectivityistheobjective.com. Selwyn Duke is coming up next. Digital Talk Radio, Chuck Wilder here. I've got Jeremy at the network. We're live across America and around the world at crndoc.com. When next we meet, Frank Savato, he's executive partner at Compass Point Group with his latest. Andrew Art Arthur, resident fellow in law and policy for the Center for Immigration Studies. And right now, without further ado, let me tell you who I have. I have the one and only Mr. Selwyn Duke, writer for The New American. He also contributes to college textbooks published by Gale Sinage Learning. And Selwyn's a very busy guy. He appears on television and, of course, a frequent guest on great radio programs and even this radio program. And now, here comes the Duke.
Duke, 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 Duke of Earl, Duke, Duke, Duke of Earl, Duke, Duke. Duke of Earl, Duke, Duke, Duke of Earl, Duke, Duke, Duke of Earl.
Oh, yes. What a wonderful intro there for the one and only Mr. Selwyn Duke. How are you, Selwyn? How are you? How are you? How are you?
Well, Chuck, I'm doing okay. I hope you're well, too. But one thing, Chuck, I've got to tell you, we've got to make this fast because I've got to be on another show in 5 minutes.
Really? April Fool.
Now. Okay, you got it. I couldn't fool you.
Oh, man. You know what? And, hey, no problem if you had to be because, you know, Jeremy would say, okay, let's just get a repeat show. And I say, okay. And I go out and mow my concrete. You know, people say, what are you doing? I said, I'm mowing the grass. I don't see any grass. April Fool, you know. Yeah. You know what's interesting? I just got through doing a show that was talking about, you know, the new Florida thing, right? You know, the and they were going, gay, and has nothing to do, and it never even mentions gay and the damn thing they're talking about. Some people just don't pay attention to what they're roaring about, huh? But you've got one, excluding cyclists Emily Bridges and splitting the transgender baby. Now, that sounds like an operation that may go wrong.
Yeah. Well, let me say about the whole don't say gay thing, Chuck, that actually I've said this to you before, but I'm a very strong supporter of gay marriage. And what I mean is I believe that spouses, from the moment they take their vows to the moment they leave this fold, should be as happy as can be. And so what I'm saying is, yeah, let's say gay. Let's reclaim the original meaning of gay, which is happy. You know, sometimes parents would actually name their sons gay, like the late golfer, Gabe Brewer, but they don't do that anymore, and for obvious reasons.
Yeah, and but someone, before you go any further, okay, I want to come clean to you and to the audience. I have decided to do this, and I'm going to tell you that for almost 4 years, I was actually wearing blue, a dress. You don't believe me, do you?
I think that's an April Fool's joke, too.
No. Because, see, when I was in the Navy, one of the uniforms, your number one uniform, is considered dress blues. And that's what they're called.
That's true.
Because they're the dark pants, see, and it's a, the uniform for today is dress blue, and me too. I said I didn't know there were that many gays on this ship, you know. But anyway, it's funny. I was just thinking about it. And here's the subject, and I said, and that's not even an April Fool's joke. We really had to do it, you know.
Yeah, and then your wife saw you in that uniform, and she said, "This is the guy for me." Right?
The end of it all, right there. Yeah, me and the five Marines. Anytime, you know, I'll tell you one thing. If you're a sailor and you're in a group of Marines, they outdress you.
Mm-hmm.
the Marines do. They got the sharpest uniforms ever. I got to give them credit for that, you know. So there you go.
Huh.
So I'm sorry I had to mess up your muss, but go ahead.
Yeah. So anyway, this is a story that most people haven't heard about because, of course, the news is consumed with Ukraine and whatnot, understandably. But anyway, as I announce in my article, you might have noticed that our society, Chuck, is undergoing a transgenderism, quote-unquote, transition. Yes, we're transitioning. And what I mean is that you can see the Overton window has moved a little bit. It wasn't that long ago where basically people were bending over backwards. Everyone was for these so-called transgender individuals, and I don't use that term, actually. I call them MUS individuals. Again, that means made-up sexual status, and I originated that because we have to control the language if we want to win the debate. But anyway, everyone was pandering. Everyone was bending over backwards. But now we see some pushback. We see states such as Florida, Mississippi, Tennessee, they've actually banned MUS men in women's sports, because there has been an issue with that. You know, so-called Leah Thomas, actually Scott Thomas, the University of Pennsylvania swimmer, swimming in the women's category and setting some records. So anyway, it's also now increasingly common to question this whole idea of these MUS men being in women's sports. But on the other hand, Chuck, there's also this tendency, even on the part of conservatives, mind you, to find a middle ground here, you know, something, some compromise that somehow is going to make everyone happy. But here's the question I ask in my article, and this is the real crux of the matter. Is this debate about MUS men and women's sports really at bottom about sports? Is it? Okay, I'm going to explain exactly what I mean. Now, in my piece, I talk about this certain publication, The Eye, in Britain, and it covers the story about Emily, quote-unquote, Bridges. Now, this person, Bridges, is actually a man who claims to be a woman who is an elite cyclist in Great Britain. In fact, in 2018, he set this national junior men's record. Okay, now this weekend, I guess starting tomorrow or maybe today, he was set to compete, no, starting tomorrow, I'll correct myself, April 2nd. He was set to compete in the British National Omnium Championships women's category. He was all set to do it. But then the world's governing body in cycling, the UCI, the Union Cycliste Internationale, if that's how they pronounce it, intervened and said no, he couldn't do it. He was ineligible. This happened just days before the race was set to begin. Well, anyway, this UCI, no, Chuck, it has not suddenly started taking all the testosterone that Bridges is suppressing. It has not manned up. What happened simply is that the UCI said that Bridges could not compete because of a technicality. He's still listed as a male cyclist. And we see this over and over again with these authorities, with these governing bodies. They comprise cowards. These people just don't want to take stands, and they're morally confused. And it brings to mind a great apocryphal saying, Chuck, that goes, moral issues are always complex matters for people who have no principles. And that's true. That's not April Fool's. But anyway, so the technicality on Bridges was a good way to kick the can down the road, because his issue in Britain had become very controversial, because as with Will Thomas here, he's not just some out-of-shape guy who's all of a sudden said he was a woman and wanted to compete in women's sports. Like I said, this fellow is an elite cyclist. Well, anyway, so let's move on. But like I said, we see this tendency to try to find a middle ground. Now, I mentioned that piece at the Eye, that British publication, Chuck, because it actually was questioning the must-men's presence in women's sports, and that's significant because the Eye is not exactly a conservative publication. But nonetheless, writer Matt Butler, he's the author, he admits in his article that Bridges, quote, has a physical advantage over women, that everyone, quote, should have a right to compete on a level playing field, and that, quote, scientific evidence points to transgender athletes holding a significant advantage over biological females, unquote. Now, by the way, if you know me, Chuck, you know I don't like that term biological female, because, as I point out always, is there such a thing as a non-biological female? Okay, biological female is a must agenda enabling redundancy. That's what it is. So we shouldn't use that term. It's just a female. Female by designation, by definition, is a biological designation. Okay, but anyway, we can know what this fellow Butler just said, that these men, regardless of what testosterone blockers they take and regardless of what else they do, still have an advantage over women for a simple reason. You know, I've talked about this before, but I proved it myself, because all we have to do, Chuck, is look at the large number of males and females who have the exact same hormonal profile. Now, you might ask, well, what am I talking about? Where do you find large numbers of males and females like that? Well, they're called children. They're called children because if you look at children before puberty, you'll note that boys and girls both have low levels of estrogen. Okay, boys at that age, of course, have not yet gone through male adolescence. But if you look at the sports where we can measure performance with a stopwatch, you'll see that the boys' records, even at those ages, are still better in almost every case. So that settles the case right there. That tells you that it really doesn't matter. Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was agreeing with you. Hey, let me jump in here real quick. See, You know, but the listeners don't know that I got this story that we're talking about now. It came out early this morning, okay? And the amazing thing is, 2 days ago, see, I didn't know you were going to write this, Selwyn, but 2 days ago, I printed up an article that came from British Cycling. Are you ready for this? And you know what they said?
Okay.
The head of the thing they sent out was, "Pipe down, ladies, and know your place. Female cyclists are warned not to complain about men competing in their sport." Isn't that ironic? and it's the British Cycling.
Yeah.
They gave out all the rules, you know? Yeah. It says, welcome all transgender, non-binary participants, just as you would any other participant, you know. But see, they were talking about the males overtaking the women's sports, you know, as in swimming, right? Yeah, so there.
Right,
Great minds think the same, right? You and the British Cycling Magazine and whatever his name is. Okay, go ahead.
And
we got about
Wilder,
a minute and a half. Yeah,
no, absolutely.
This break.
Absolutely. Yeah. But, you know, it occurs to me, Chuck, that sauce for the goose is sauce for the gander here, because for the longest time, boys could not complain about girls being in their sports. You know, for years, feminists insisted upon that let's say if a 10-year-old girl was pretty good at basketball, she could play on the boys' team, and no one was supposed to complain about that. There was no respect for boys and men's spaces, but now the feminists are all upset because they're seeing the same disrespect for girls and women's spaces. But anyway, let's get back to this article here, because this is very, very interesting. So I was mentioning this fellow Butler in Britain, this writer, and I was saying that actually even he is pushing back against this MUS agenda a little bit. But then again, he also attempts to split the MUS baby on this issue, and here's what I'm talking about. He discusses, for instance, three possible ways to address the issue of MUS men and women's sports, and all of them, Chuck, are predicated on the idea that a MUS, quote, identity is a legitimate state of being. But one of his suggestions is significant. Now, why? Because it's one that's long been suggested by conservatives in article comment sections. Yes, I do read comment sections. I keep my nose to the ground. And here's the suggestion, as Butler writes, quote, introduce a third category to compete, separate from both men and women. In other words, a MUS category. Now, Butler points out the obvious, that there really aren't enough MUS participants to make this viable. But all this ignores something more important, a very simple fact. This isn't really about sports. It's not about sports at all. Now, I think we're going to a break. Am I correct?
Yeah, we are. And that is the teaser right there. This isn't sports. Yes, sir. Thank you. All right, well, listen, Selwyn Duke and What's-His-Face are going to take a break, and we're going to continue in just a moment. And here it is. The website is Selwyn Duke. How do you spell that? T-H-A-T. Selwyn Duke. Yes. S-E-L-W-Y-N, Duke, D-U-K-E.com. Be right back.
Is your bathroom looking old and worn out? Want to update it, but you don't know where to start? Then let VCI Bath & Shower show you how to turn that old bath into an aisle of beauty and functionality. Our residential bathroom solutions provide the best value on the market, and our customer service is second to none. Our cost-effective VCI Bath & Shower family of products has what you need.
Remodeling our bathroom was a big decision for us.
They didn't make a mess out of our house at all. And at the end of the day, we had a beautiful new bathroom. And it was a great experience the whole way through.
We have the best monthly payment programs in the industry, with payments as low as $68 per month or no interest, no payments for 18 months. That's right. Get the bathroom of your dreams now and pay for it in 2022. Call 1-800-455-7923 for a free, no-obligation price quote. That's 1-800-455-7923. When you want quality bathroom products at a great price, it's got to be BCI Bath & Shower. That's 1-800-455-7923.
Attention real estate investors. Do you need cash immediately? If you own one or multiple rental properties, you can use your equity to get cash out fast. The best part is we don't need tax returns or even a good credit score. At America's Loan Source, we are not a bank and we don't have bank rules. We make the decisions to loan you money, and there's no limit how much we can give you. Some clients have gotten as much as $500,000 or more within days. Use the money any way you want. If you own one rental property or 100, and COVID has left you in a cash crunch, we can help you turn your equity into fast cash. Call now for details and close in as little as 10 days and get the cash you need. 800-353-1760. 800-353-1760. 800-353-1760. That's 800-353-1760.
What are you going to do with your old car? You can try selling it, you could junk it, or you could donate it to Heritage for the Blind. Your car will be towed away for free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-785-9618. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats. It doesn't matter if your vehicle runs or not. It will be towed away for free, and you'll be supporting those that need help. Heritage for the Blind is a nonprofit organization that helps the visually impaired live fuller lives. Call right now to donate your car, and as a special thank you for calling, you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to many exciting locations. Call Heritage for the Blind right now, 1-800-785-9618. Donating is easy, and your vehicle is towed away for free. Plus, you'll get a free vacation voucher. Call now, 1-800-785-9618. That's 1-800-785-9618.
Everybody's talking at me.
CRN, Chuck Wilder with Selwyn Duke, writer for the New American. And boy, you hit the nail right on the head there. This isn't really about sports, is it? It's got to be something else. Something else.
Yeah. Well, absolutely, absolutely, Chuck. And this is the point that even most conservatives miss. They get bogged down in the details and they don't see the forest for the trees, okay? Now, why do we say that this whole issue of must men and women's sports isn't really about sports? Well, for one reason, and this is rarely mentioned, is no one is stopping Will Thomas or the so-called Emily Bridges or any of these other fellows from playing competitive sports. They can participate in the categories designated for their actual sex. They can do that. No one's stopping them. But that's not good enough, is it? And no, I know what you're thinking, but it's not because their chances of victory would be greatly reduced. That's not it. Remember here, this is very important. Will Thomas has been credibly accused, Chuck, of actually throwing races in order to take heat off the must movement. And that shouldn't surprise you at all, because you have to remember, these people really are activists first in general and athletes second. Very, very important to understand that. And this relates to another misconception I often hear from conservatives, Chuck. I'll hear a lot of them say, oh, these guys are doing this because they can't compete with the men, so now they want to beat up on the women. They just want to win. Well, I know it's comforting to say that, but I have to tell you, basically with these people, they do have a serious problem. Call it gender dysphoria if you want, although I'm not a fan of psychological designations and diagnoses, but they have a real problem, okay? There's no doubt about that. The feelings are not just their imagination. The issue, though, is that that doesn't mean you rearrange all of society for them and pander to them. You try to help them with their psychological problem. You try to change their minds, not their bodies, and all of society. Okay, so they aren't doing this just to win, but the real issue that I'm getting at was actually touched on, Chuck, by a certain person. This Skylar Ballar goes by the name Skylar. This is actually a woman and an ex-college swimmer who claims to be a man. Now, this was reported by CBS recently, in fact, on Sunday, when this fellow Ballar, who is sort of a must activist, was asked, is there any middle ground in this debate? Ballar replied, I don't think that there is space to say, yes, I affirm your identity, but I don't in sport. You can't divide me in half and have my transness and my masculinity show up here and not over here, unquote, okay? Now, here's the thing, Chuck. This Ballar is right. No, she's correct. There is no middle ground, okay? Understand this. Central to the must agenda is the idea that if someone claims opposite sex status, then he actually is a member of that sex, and you've got to treat him as a member of that sex. No questions asked. So understand that when we facilitate the must movement in any way, what we're doing is we're enabling this claim, because this claim, again, is integral to the must agenda. Okay, to think otherwise, to analogize this, Chuck, is like supposing that you could allow communism to take hold in your society, in tolerance's name, of course, but without enabling its redistributionist tenet. No, you can't do that, because certain things are inseparable. They're package deals. And this is the problem. This is the problem with issuing concessions such as third sporting categories or so-called gender-neutral restrooms. They send the wrong message, okay? We're not transmitting the reality that must identification is a psychological problem, Chuck, when we do that. No. We're sending the message that it's a legitimate state of being worthy of accommodation. And if you send this message long enough and strong enough, what happens? Well, children are the main indoctrination targets because they're impressionable, right? Well, what's going to happen over time is this proposition is going to be accepted, okay, that it's a legitimate state of being. And then there's going to be a movement away from our current and all too common and already destructive tolerance. Understand what tolerance means here, by the way. It's correctly defined as the abiding of a negative, okay? We're going to be dispensing with even that, and we're going to move toward the notion that must identities are not negative at all. And what's this otherwise known as? It's known as acceptance. And acceptance of the must agenda in its entirety can follow this. And then all these things you don't want, like must men and women sports, are going to be happening.
Yep. We'll get to the very end of this and maybe even throw in those who identify as animals. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Selwyn Duke, writer for The New American. It's thenewamerican.com, but his website is selwynduke.com, where you can read all these excellent articles. We'll be right back.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
Sandra Bullock plays a romance novelist who's kidnapped by an obsessive billionaire, played by Harry Potter's Daniel Radcliffe, and dragged into a potentially deadly jungle adventure where the dim-witted cover model for her books, Channing Tatum, offers the only hope for rescue in The Lost City, now playing in theaters everywhere.
Loretta Sage is missing.
I'm going to rescue her. I just want her to think of me as more than a cover model.
Alan, what are you doing here?
We're here to save you.
Well, Brad Pitt also shows up for the same purpose, and while he's on screen, he largely does save the movie. The two stars are both hugely likable with good chemistry between them, but the silly plot isn't for one moment believable, and the tedious chase scenes, mostly played for laughs, are harsh enough for a PG-13 rating. The preposterous screenplay, with contributions by many veteran writers, provides occasional comedy, but not much in the way of romance. Two stars for The Lost City, which should have found a path to greater satisfaction.
For the getaway of your dreams, come to Hawaii's Playground, Ka'anapali Beach Resort, on the fun side of Maui, where the world comes to play. Find your spot on Ka'anapali Beach with 3 miles of white sand, 12 resort properties, 2 golf courses, and 2 shopping centers. Enjoy the playground of Hawaii's ancient royalty. Ka'anapali Beach Resort is Hawaii's original master planned destination resort and home of the Hawaii Food and Wine Festival. With views of 2 neighboring islands, you can breathe in the land's natural beauty from your favorite resort or golf fairway. Come experience Ka'anapali's own special brand of Hawaiian hospitality with world-class dining, relaxing resorts, water sports, and activities of every kind. For romantic, family, and great friend getaways, discover the options of Ka'anapali Beach Resort, where the world comes to play. Plan your getaway today. Visit ka'anapaliresort.com. That's K-A-A-N-A-P-A-L-I-Resort.com.
The smartest way for you to get the lowest prices on your plane tickets, domestic or international, is to call SmartFares, first or last, but you've got to call us before you book your plane tickets. Fly anywhere in the world, fly anywhere in the U.S., and SmartFares can save you up to 75% on your plane tickets. We have the lowest airline ticket prices on over 500 airlines, and you've got a great 12-hour free cancellation window. Plus, with our live agent help, you can always get fast help and fast answers. So on your next trip, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, how about right now? Pick up your phone and call SmartFares. Plus, save up to 75% on your plane reservation. So call right now. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644.
I'm Al Simon, 91 years young. I created Balance 7 20 years ago. I don't believe God intended for us to be old and sick. For 10 years, I studied pH and how important it is to the immune system. No doctor or hospital can do what Balance 7 can do for you. Balance 7 is the key to unlocking a healthy immune system. In 3 days' time, you'll feel more energy, less joint discomfort, and clarity of thinking. Bring your body back to balance. Order now and receive free shipping and a free bottle of My Smooth.
Get your body back in balance with Balance7.com. Your energy level will go up, joint discomfort will be reduced, and heartburn no longer a problem. And now go to support at Balance7.com and get a free 5-day supply of Balance 7 while supplies last. A free 5-day supply of Balance 7. Go to support at Balance7.com or call 805-474-0558. 805-474-0558. 805-474-0558.
Everybody's talking at me.
Chuck Wilder, CRN, with my guest Selwyn Duke, writer for The New American, and discussing his latest article, excluding cyclist Emily Bridges and splitting the transgender baby. Yes. And, you know, let me tell you something real quick there, kind of quieting down a little bit, right? But funny thing is, Selwyn, that because my studio at my home is right next to the big lawn, okay, and the guy comes, you know, and cuts the grass, and he's, anyway, I just figured out that right now my lawn man is identifying as a man 1 hour ahead of daylight savings time. Because he was making a lot of noise. I don't know if you heard it or not in that, just before we went into that break or not, but wow, unbelievable. Oh. Yes. And
wow,
if he doesn't
watch, I didn't hear
out,
that.
If he doesn't watch out, I will identify as an animal and I will bite him on the leg. So there. So when we last left you, let's see, we were talking about transmitted is not the reality that must identification as a psychological problem, but that it's a legitimate state of being worthy of accommodation. And that's, like you say, they're marking the bathrooms, you know, like this is for the specials, right? But what if you did identify as an animal, right? Are they going to start doing that?
Yeah, well, that's the whole thing. It's funny because I was going to use an example such as that in my piece, Chuck, but I wanted to keep it short, and it was already long enough, so I forgot about that and a number of other things, too. But it's interesting because recently we heard a fake story, it turned out to be fake, about how they were putting litter boxes in school bathrooms because some students were identifying as animals. Now, the reason why some conservative commentators took that seriously is that it's not so far-fetched nowadays.
No.
I've said on your show before that just as we have this so-called gender dysphoria that psychologists define, they also define something called species dysphoria, which is the sense that you're an animal stuck in the body of a person. So it's the same kind of thinking. And the example is relevant here because would we say if there were people like that out there, and I imagine they do exist, okay, well, we're not going to let them live in a zoo. They want to live in the zoo. We're not going to do that, but we'll put litter boxes in school bathrooms because we want to compromise, we want to be reasonable, we want to find some middle ground. You wouldn't do that because you'd recognize that you'd be legitimizing a mental illness. You'd be normalizing it in society,
you know,
and in the minds of children. Yeah.
See, the example I always use, and I just used it last hour, too, is that come in and identify as a donkey, all right? And they'll say, yes, okay, whatever you want to be. So I'm a donkey, and the next day have a bale of hay delivered to the classroom and see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah, no,
you know?
I mean, you could take it to any level.
Ridiculous.
The whole
yeah.
thing is ridiculous. And that's why this disturbs me so much when I see conservatives try to find this middle ground. I understand that they're abiding by their natural instinct to be reasonable, but here you have to understand two things. As G.K. Chesterton said, I haven't quoted him in a while on your show now, he said, the business of progressives is to go on making mistakes. The business of conservatives is to prevent mistakes from being corrected. Don't fall into that trap. You have to understand, again, when you propose things like gender-neutral bathrooms and a third sporting category for these must individuals, what you're doing is you're saying to children this is a real new thing. This is a legitimate alternative lifestyle. And we're seeing more and more kids subscribe to it simply because it is the in thing. And this hurts so many children. There is so much regret where children have actually gone through various so-called transitions, have destroyed their bodies, damaged them purposely, and then have realized it was all a mistake. I cited this one young man. His name was Nathaniel. His last name was not released for obvious reasons. And he said a few years back, he said, it's like a Frankenstein procedure. I feel as if I've ruined my life. That's what he said. What happened with him was he was sexually confused. Right at his 18th birthday, he had bottom surgery, as they call it. So, of course, he was mutilated. And then months later, he realized it was a big mistake. Yeah. And that's just one example. That's why it's so destructive to normalize this in the eyes of children. Just one reason. I mean, the even bigger reason is that you're distorting their grasp of reality. And the truth will set you free. You have to be in touch with reality. It's very, very important. And stop me, Chuck, if I'm going on too long.
No, you're not. But I wanted to throw something in here real quick before I forget, because that's the way I am. I think there is an honest thing that happened. And it may have, the first time might have been about 3 years ago, where there was a female who loved football and said, I think I can kick field goals better than the guy we have, you know, playing on the team. You may have heard about this, you know, and now I think there's like maybe three girls that are kicking the extra points on football teams. And I heard that there was one in pro sports that's doing it. But see, I don't think that's a transgender thing. I just thought, you know, that they thought it was something they could do, and you know, and they're doing a good job kicking the extra point. That's all they do. But then I think all you got to do, you know, one time, accidentally get hit by some charging big bull coming through there trying to block the kick, and you get injured badly, and then you feel, most people feel worse if it's a female that gets injured, you know what I'm saying, in a sporting event than a guy. You know, the guys can take it. Yeah, why? They have hair on their chest, and that keeps you from getting hurt. Oh, yeah.
That's a little cushioning, especially if you've got hair like mine on your chest.
Yeah, I dated a girl that had hair on her chest one time, but that's another story. Okay.
I guess
I don't think it's a must. In that case with that girl, you know? Are those girls?
No, it's not. But I'll still say, though, that's a case of women intruding into men's spaces. And that's one thing if you say, okay, we're going to allow it because guys are better, so it's no big deal. But it's another thing if you do it on the basis of an equality argument, as the feminists have put forth, as they have been doing for decades, because the truth is that's disingenuous. Because if they're really equal, if the sexes are equal in the athletic realm, then yes, there's no reason to keep girls out of boys' sports, but then there's also no reason to keep boys out of girls' sports. Again, what's sauce for the goose is sauce for the gander.
Open a can
but
of worms.
There's something else I wanted to There's something else I wanted to say here. I was also going to put this in my article, but again, there were space constraints. This fellow Butler I mentioned, the British writer, he also mentioned when he was trying to find a middle ground that in these debates over must sports, we can forget that we're talking about real people who were brave enough to come out and who are never going to be accepted by a certain portion of the population, and they deserve compassion. Now, that's an interesting argument, and it really needs to be addressed because there's a deeper truth here, Chuck. And you know what it dovetails with? Just recently, we saw Will Smith deliver that slap to Chris Rock, right? People are still talking about that in the news. Well, I sent out on social media a few comments about that, and I was criticizing Will Smith. What I said was, if he's really concerned about his wife and his family, well, then maybe he should have said something some years ago when his son was running around in a dress and acting like a fool. Maybe he should worry more about his open marriage, which he says he has with his wife, and what his wife might be doing with other guys if he's really concerned about his family. Well, anyway, one reader of mine really took exception to this, and she was indignant. She said, "This is none of your business. Do not judge, lest you be judged." Basically, she was saying it's private. Well, why is this connected to what we're talking about? Well, here's the whole thing. Nothing that enters the public realm is private. If people want to keep their private issues private, they can't talk about them. As soon as you put it out there for public consumption, it takes on a different flavor. Why? Because you're influencing society. See, it's a very different thing. I remember, Chuck, years ago I read this Musk man, I'm assuming he was a man, online, just in the comments section. He was not an activist. He seemed like a very nice person. And he said about the feelings he had, he said, quote, "I wouldn't wish this on my worst enemy." And I'm sure that's true. And if he came to me for spiritual counseling, I would provide a shoulder to cry on. I would be all ears, nothing but compassion. But as soon as a person like that goes out there and tries to transform society, as soon as he goes out there and he says, this is a legitimate state of being and thus influences children, then he's a participant in the culture war. And then it's legitimate for him to take flack. And that's why I say, when you go out there and you influence society with your aberrant ideas, you become fair game. You can't do that. So that's the distinction. When things are private, these people deserve compassion when they're bearing their crosses nobly. But as soon as they put it out there in our faces, no, different rules apply. So anyway, yeah. You know, just to conclude
here,
Chuck. I want
to tell you real quick, you know, that the slap on Chris Rock. There was L.A. Times columnist Erica D. Smith, okay, found some critique in the Academy statement today. And it says the Academy called Will Smith's actions a deeply shocking, traumatic event to witness. Okay, and she says, okay, again, not great behavior from Will Smith, but traumatic? Watching the footage of a police shooting is traumatic. Surely they meant dramatic. And I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they kind of got their words wrong there. It was dramatic, but yes, okay.
Yeah. But didn't someone also say it was traumatic? And I was thinking, yeah, well, that's a good example of the snowflake phenomenon because, I mean,
yeah,
come on,
absolutely.
It was ridiculous. But if you're traumatized by that, you're way too soft, okay?
Yeah. Let me ask you this. You got one that you have two that came out on the same date. And one was Tucker Carlson and the 25th Amendment. Mm. And then the other one was Biden makes Poland a target. Putin and high command moved to nuclear bunkers. You want to touch on that because it'll probably end up as the final one that we get into today. Which one would you prefer?
Yeah, let's touch on the latter. Biden makes Poland a target, but the two things are related. They're related, so we can just weave them both together.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah,
this
is very interesting.
You are the perfect weaver. You do identify as a weaver, you know, so go ahead.
Yeah.
He sews a lot. Yes,
yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah. So anyway, now this is very interesting. And here I started out quoting this very astute commentator, David Goldman. He goes by Spengler. I don't know if you've had him on the show, but if he's articulate, he would be a good guest because he's very, very astute. And he asks, quote, what does Vladimir Putin have to do to convince Washington that the Ukraine crisis is a preliminary skirmish in what might be a nuclear war? And it's a very, very good question, Chuck. You and I have talked about this. I've been very concerned about this turning into a nuclear war. At times, I mean, my mood has been bright today, but at times I've really been sick over it, I have to say. And anyway, so this fellow, Goldman, writing with this other writer, Parpart, if that's how they pronounce his name, wrote this piece in the Asia Times titled, "N-War Risk is Real. Biden's Living a Dangerous Fantasy." And anyway, so the report is here, Chuck, and this is what's alarming, that, quote, Putin and his high command reportedly have now decamped to secret bunkers, in other words, nuclear-safe bunkers. Okay, now, meanwhile, while this is going on, okay, something else has gone basically unnoticed, which is that Joe Biden, as we know, made that statement recently where he indicated that American troops would be going to Ukraine. Okay, but when he was explaining this away, basically what he said was, no, what I meant is that those American soldiers would be training Ukrainian troops in Poland. Now, this is significant because Poland is a NATO country. And to quote my friend Thomas Lipson at American Thinker, he wrote, quote, in other words, they are now targets in Poland. Amidst all the other gaffes, this revelation has barely been noticed, except, of course, by the war planners in Moscow. lifts and rights. Okay, so anyway, let me quote here Goldman and Parpart, because what they write, Chuck, is put together very, very well. So I'll just quote it verbatim. He writes, quote, "What does Vladimir Putin have to do to convince Washington that the Ukraine crisis is a preliminary skirmish in what might be a nuclear war? On February 23rd, Putin warned of nuclear war. On February 19th, he conducted a full-dress drill of Russian ballistic missile forces. On February 27th, he put Russia on a nuclear alert, which remains in effect. Joe Biden didn't get the message. Then, on March 29th, Moscow sent a red alarm signal to the West by leaking news that Putin and his high command have decamped to secret bunkers following a Kremlin statement that Russia would use nuclear weapons to counter an existential threat," the Daily Mail reported, citing investigations by journalist Christo Grozev. Okay, now this is very, very serious, Chuck. Now, of course, we can always hope that this is part of the Russian strategy that goes escalate to de-escalate. We can hope that. And what that means is that the idea is that you escalate, you puff up your chest like one of those lizards making his neck wide to make himself look bigger in order to intimidate your opponents into backing down. We can hope that that's what's going on here, but it's a serious, serious risk. And I know we're coming up on a break, but the Daily Mail piece that was cited there by Goldman and his fellow author writes, "New evidence has emerged. Vladimir Putin and his highest-ranking commanders are running the war in Ukraine from top-secret nuclear bunkers." We just said that. Right. Quote, "Movements of planes used by top Kremlin officials show Putin may be in a hideaway near Surgut in western Siberia, it has been claimed. His defense minister, Sergei Shoigu, who has been mysteriously absent for several weeks, sparking rumors about his health, is believed to be in a bunker near Ufa in the Urals, 725 miles east of Moscow," according to investigative journalist Christo Grozev again. Okay, and one more line from the Mail, quote, "The suspected use of the high-security nuclear bunkers is concerning as it leads to suggestions Putin may be prepared to deploy nuclear weapons, a move that would lead to inevitable reprisals." I know we're coming
always
up on a break.
Always on the top of it all there. Selwyn Duke. SelwynDuke.com, yes. Sometimes, I started to say sometimes I wished I was in a bunker, but nope. I want to be right out
here.
Okay, We're going to be right back, wrap things up with the one and only Selwyn Duke. Selwyn Duke. .com. It's SELWYNDuke.com.
Do you want to fly somewhere? Anywhere in the world? Smart travelers call MyFlightSearch.com for the best deals on flight tickets. Going to Manila, Bangkok, London, how about Singapore? Call MyFlightSearch.com for the lowest flight tickets available. What about a local vacation? Let's say you want to fly to Vegas, Orlando, Miami, Los Angeles, or Denver. Pick up the phone and call MyFlightSearch.com right now. We have exclusive deals that you can't find anywhere else. The only way you can get these low airline prices is by calling us. We have so many low prices available, we can't possibly tell them to you right here and now. If you're flying somewhere anytime in the next 6 months and you want the lowest airline ticket prices anywhere, you owe it to yourself to save a ton of money. So pick up your cell phone and call MyFlightSearch.com right now.
Call 800-445-3166. 800-445-3166. That's 800-445-3166. Call now. 800-445-3166.
Joe Biden's Afghanistan withdrawal has changed America. Not because of the Taliban or outside powers or even because America's leaders are making mistakes. Afghanistan changed America because America's leaders want to change America. America's string of disasters come from leaders who want a disaster for the American power.
But the idea that somehow there's a way to have gotten out without chaos, I don't know how that happens.
They want to fundamentally transform the United States.
We have an incredible opportunity to fundamentally transform the country.
The Bible forecasted that they want to blot out the United States of America. How? We discuss this and so much more on our program, The Trumpet Daily. We're live weekday mornings at 11 a.m. Central Time in the United States. You can listen at CRN Digital Radio, Channel 3, or watch the live video stream at our website, thetrumpet.com.
Hi, everybody. Michael Horn from CRNDigitalTalk.com. You know, we provide you with the best in talk radio. 8 channels of talk radio, from radio on the left to radio on the right. Sports talk, business talk, religious talk, Spanish talk. You name it, we've got talk radio for you. All at CRNTalk.com. Well, now we bring you video as well as audio. That's right. Watch your favorite shows like the Fred Dreyer program, What's Cooking Today, What's Cooking on Wine, The Lounge, Richard Nixon Live, and so many other shows on video right at our website, crntalk.com. You can also watch us on Roku. Just search CRN Talk and you can watch us on any Roku TV anywhere in the world. Also on Facebook Live. Just go to facebook.com/CRN Talk. Roku, search CRN Talk. facebook.com/CRN Talk. Check us out on Tiki Live and at CRN Talk too. Video for you talk fans, all from CRN Talk.
Everybody's talking at me. CRN, Chuck Wilder with Selwyn Duke, writer for The New American. Hey, Selwyn, you know what I did during the break there, just for the heck of it? Mm. I looked up the definition of gaffe. You know how, well, Biden made a gaffe. I never heard him say Trump made a gaffe. But the meaning of gaffe, a social or diplomatic blunder. Isn't that wonderful that they have a special term for diplomats? Are social people? Wouldn't you call it a lie?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And these are a little more than gaffes, too, because they're so serious. I mean, yeah. Biden and his handlers have been doing nothing but escalating the situation with Russia. For instance, we know that Biden said just over the course of 3 days, Chuck, that the U.S. might use nuclear weapons if Russia did. A great thing to say, right? That's completely contrary to American policy. Then he indicated, like I said, that American troops were heading for Ukraine. And then, and this is the really dangerous thing, he indicated that the administration was maybe seeking to oust Putin from power. And here, I'm going to quote my friend Thomas Lifson, because he put this very, very well. Really, here's what we have to remember. He wrote, Biden foolishly called for regime change with the now infamous 9 words, for God's sake, this man cannot remain in power.
Yeah.
From the standpoint of Vladimir Putin, that is an existential threat. Having been branded a war criminal and watching the seizure of assets of Russian oligarchs, there is no graceful retirement to the French Riviera like some deposed murderous third world oligarch. If Russian forces are doing as badly as our media claim, then Putin may well feel cornered. Gaddafi rode a bayonet at the end, and Ceausescu was executed by a firing squad. Vlad has no intention of hiding in a spider hole like Saddam until found and hanged. And he's right about that, okay? Yeah. This is a dangerous situation. We should be looking to de-escalate. And let me tell you something, Chuck. I find this Putin derangement syndrome really bizarre. We have Xi Jinping in China, who's probably a worse man than Putin. He's got a million minorities in concentration camps, okay? And we're not demonizing Xi the way we do Putin. We're not calling for the overthrow of the regime there in China. Why the double standard? It makes no sense. And I'm not defending Putin. I'm not saying he's a good man. I'm saying he has at his disposal 6,000 nuclear weapons. Yeah. So you have to be smart and diplomatic. We never in the past called for regime change in these situations. We didn't do it when the Soviets rolled tanks into Czechoslovakia in 1968. We didn't do it when the Chinese invaded Tibet in 1950 and then annexed it. This is absolutely insane. We have crazy people governing us, and I'm not that worried about Putin. I'm worried about our pseudo-elites. They're the ones who could get us into a nuclear war.
You know, and after Biden made that statement, then when he was walking out, some reporter shouted at him, are you saying that Putin should go? No. And you're going, wait a minute, what did he say? You know, it's...
He doesn't even know.
sorry thing, you know, very, very sorry thing. At least, you know, and we stood up to the Russians, you know, on the Cuban crisis, you know, and that worked out for us, but show of force. But then again, we've made all kinds of promises to remove missiles if you'll back up and get out of here, you know. So who knows?
Right. And that was our backyard.
Yeah. Politics, religion, and Musk. What subjects we have. Okay. Selwyn Duke.
Yeah, really.
Hey, thank you very much, sir, and look forward to our next visit. Selwyn
God
Duke.
Bless, Chuck. Thank you.
You too. SelwynDuke.com. Hey, thank you very much, Jeremy. Thank you for listening, and God bless the United States of America.